It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
President Kennedy makes news on many fronts in his weekly press conference. To reporters crowding the State Department auditorium, he restates America's stand against any Red China threat to Kamoi and Matsu Islands. He discusses his trade expansion and Medicare programs. Asked his opinion of the Supreme Court decision banning prayer in schools, the president says,
"Well, I haven't seen the measures in the Congress, and you'd have to make a determination of what the language was and what the effect it would have on the First Amendment. The Supreme Court has made a judgment. A good many people obviously will disagree with it. Others will agree with it. But I think that it is important for us, if we're going to maintain our constitutional principle, that we support Supreme Court decisions even when we may not agree with them. In addition, we have in this case a very easy remedy, and that is to pray ourselves. And I would think that it would be a welcome reminder to every American family that we can pray a good deal more at home, we can attend our churches with a good deal more fidelity, and we can make the true meaning of prayer much more important in the lives of all of our children. That power is very much open to us. And I would hope that as a result of this decision that all American parents will intensify their efforts at home."
Sandy Rios with you. That is a newsreel, an old newsreel of an event that really shook the foundations of the United States back in 1962 when the Supreme Court ruled that prayer was no longer legal in public schools. The effort was pushed by an atheist who was named Madeline Murray O'Hare, who founded, by the way, the American Atheist Association. There's a lot to say about that, but honestly, it was a huge turning point in the trajectory to the left that America has taken. It was a hallmark, a pillar for the left, and certainly a leftward turn for all of America. Well, we're going to be talking today about the war to destroy Christian America in a brand new book written by David Horowitz called Dark Agenda. You may recall that David has a very interesting past. We're going to get into that in a second, but he's a New York Times bestselling author. His book that made that our claim was Big Agenda, President Trump's Plan to Save America. David is the founder and CEO of the David Horowitz Freedom Center in Los Angeles. You also may know him by his media outlet called Front Page Mag. Some great stuff comes out of that. David's been writing for years. I first met him when he wrote his first song, book called Radical Son. And he joins us this morning. Good morning, David.
Morning, Sandy.
Do you remember where you were and what you thought in 1962 when that the Supreme Court decided no prayer in public schools?
I actually, even though I was a leftist, I didn't quite understand it. How could you have prayer in the schools for 170 years and then suddenly decide that it was unconstitutional? There was something wrong with that. And I actually, my parents were atheists. We were hostile to religion generally, but we said at every assembly we would read a psalm or say the Lord's Prayer or something like that, and I was always fascinated by it. Never bothered me, but you then know, I was very young at the time.
Well, that's interesting, though. It's interesting to hear your response to that. I know, David, you describe yourself as a red diaper baby, and we know what that means, but most people don't. I mean, honestly, the whole discussion of communism.
It means my parents were card-carrying members of the American Communist Party, and all of our close friends were communists and all wishing that Stalin's Russia would win the Cold War. pretty bad.
David, I want to, you know, for your own family.
It's terrible that you had that clip from Kennedy.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, he really couldn't do much more, but what do you mean we can pray at home? What the prayer in the schools decision did was it drove religion out of the public schools so that children who go to public schools no longer can be told that the Pilgrims were Christians or that the first Thanksgiving was a Thanksgiving to God. Of course, all other so-called religions are respected. Like the Indians can pray to Mother Earth, but Christians can't pray to God. Terrible, terrible moment in our history.
Yeah, and that was a pretty tepid response. I agree with you. That was a very tepid response. I don't remember that. I heard that for the first time this morning, too, because I was just very young, too, when this happened. So, but you know what, David, I would really be interested to know your own heritage. My understanding is that a lot of Jews coming from Europe after World War II became atheists because of their deep despondency over what they perceived as the lack of God's intervention in the Holocaust. Would that have been the situation?
There was something in that. But the big thing is this. They had adopted another religion. And my book, Dark Agenda, draws on my experience in the left to explain this. I don't think too many people understand it. But progressives, that's what my parents called themselves. They never called themselves communists. It's too dangerous. Progressives have adopted another religion. They believe that you can create the kingdom of heaven on earth. And when I was young, it was called communism. Now it's called social justice. And you can do it by getting enough power, political power, to force people to enter that kingdom. Mm-hmm. These are the most dangerous people around. The Cortez Communist Caucus in the Congress, these are dangerous, dangerous people. They're stupid. They've learned nothing from the terrible history of the 20th century. And they have this fantasy of such a perfect life that they will commit any crime and tell any lie in order to get there.
Yeah,
that's what makes them so dangerous.
Yes, and I want to talk about that again in just a second. But
their perfect analogy is with the Islamic jihadists. They think that they're acting in behalf of God, so they do the most savage, barbaric things to other people, and they can justify it through their. I hate to call Islam a religion, but religion.
Well, it's certainly
a political ideology.
Yes, political reality. David, before we come into that, because I do want to talk about what's going on in the culture, I want to underscore a few things about your personal life, because when I first met you back in the 90s, the Radical Son book, I don't know when it came out, but it was your story.
97, yeah.
Okay, that's when I met you then. That was your story of you grew up to be true to your parents' wishes, a radical in your own right, connected with the highest levels of the radicals of the 60s. And I remember well that you actually ended up leaving that because one of your friends who was a Black Panther was murdered. And it was
she actually was a mother of three children. She was a bookkeeper. I was editing the largest magazine of the left, Ramparts. And I recruited her because I had raised a lot of money and bought a Baptist church that had been overrun by the inner city of Oakland. And so they wanted to sell the church. And I raised the money to buy it for the Panthers and turn it into a school. And I created a tax-exempt foundation for it. I was very naive. And they murdered her. That was the end of my career in the left. And it happened she disappeared in December 74. Her body was found in February. And in April, the United States left Vietnam under pressure from the left. And then I saw when the communists proceeded to slaughter 2.5 million Indo-Chinese peasants in their victory. There wasn't one protest. So I understood immediately that people on the left, they're not anti-war, they're anti-American. Very big difference. They don't care a fig for the Vietnamese. They don't care for black people. Still, the Democratic Party controls every inner city in America of any size, every they have for 50 to 100 years. Every injustice in the inner city, Democrats are 100% responsible for. Doesn't bother them because their eye is fixed on, well, if they were actually religious, it would be in the next life. Mm-hmm. But their eye is fixed on having the kingdom of heaven on earth in this life, in the future. That's all I think about. Anything that advances that goal, they will support. So, and you can see it with this communist caucus. I call it the Cortez Communist Caucus.
Yeah.
And the leadership of the Democratic Party. You know, I never thought I would live to see the day when the Democratic Party would support the killing of a child that's already been born.
Yes.
But they have.
Yeah, they have.
It's all in the name of, you know, this vision they have of heaven on earth.
David,
that
when you
they're going to create.
When you left the left, and that was not an easy thing, was that? Would you equate that to? Well, all right. Your parents are communists. All your friends are communists, or Black Panthers, or affiliated. And you've spent years. You're not a child, and you turn your back on that. You turn your back on that movement. So what consequences for you were there? That must have been.
I lost every friend in life that I had ever made from childhood on. I had to start a new life, and that's what keeps people. If you wonder how people can swallow. The contradictions, the lies that they spout every day, it's because whether they think about it or not, they understand that if they deviate, if they step out of line, they're going to lose their entire, you know, their lifetime communities. Not an easy thing to do, especially I was 35 when this happened, and very hard in midlife. But, you know, I had a much better life afterwards.
Yeah. So, okay, let's move to what's happening, because you have alluded to it several times. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, of course, makes the headlines all the time, and her other, the triumvirate of evil that I think has entered the Congress. I talk about them all the time. But I would love to hear from you, who was raised as a communist, how you would distinguish, if at all, between the socialist push and communism. Any differences there?
What socialist push? Bernie Sanders was a lifelong supporter of communism. He didn't choose to have his honeymoon in Copenhagen because he thought that the Scandinavian countries were socialist models. He had his honeymoon in Moscow at the height of the Soviet Empire. That's who Bernie Sanders is. If you look at the Green New Deal, let's just take a couple of the points. They want to eliminate gasoline cars within 10 years. There must be 300 million gasoline cars out there. And people are attached to their cars. There's a reason they haven't bought a Prius or whatever. You're going to take away 300 million cars. What kind of compensation can you give them? I mean, you can't sell those cars if you abolished gas engine cars. You can't do that without establishing a police state. This is communist. You can't. They want to do away with the whole private health insurance industry. There's 170 million Americans who have private health insurance through Blue Cross and Blue Shield and Kaiser and so forth. They're going to eliminate that.
Yep.
Okay,
David.
The government is going to control
everything.
Their life.
Yes. Okay. So my guest is David. David. All right. Okay. David Horowitz is my guest, and his new book, which we're going to talk about now, is "The War to Destroy Christian America." It's called "Dark Agenda," and we'll return right after this. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Tonight, residents living in this small Texas town stunned, trying to make sense of what's described as a Sunday service massacre.
It was rapid fire. It was just boom, 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 boom.
In front of the church. In front of the church.
Authorities say the shooter, 26-year-old Devin Patrick Kelly, opened fire inside Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church. That's southeast of San Antonio. He was killed after fleeing the scene. Paul Buford's church is right down the road.
Well, I know everybody in there. I mean, our churches work together. We go to lunch with the pastor. We started praying for everyone that was involved in it.
The small congregation, including families with children, so many were rushed to hospitals by ground and air. The pastor's teenage daughter among the dead.
Ambulances everywhere. We got two air life copters outside.
Carrie Matula works at a nearby gas station and heard it all.
I never thought it would happen here. I mean, this is something that takes place in a big city. It doesn't make any sense.
Neighbors close to the shooting in shock.
I'm sorry.
You never think something like this is going to happen close to home, you know. These people in small communities, they leave their doors open at night so that they trust people.
Tonight, investigators combing the scene for answers as flags fly at half-staff, a devastating blow in this close-knit community reeling from what's being called the country's deadliest shooting inside a house of worship.
That was November the 5th, 2017, the shooting in the First Baptist Church of Sutherland, Texas, 26 people killed. It's just an amazing story, but it was not an isolated story. And a part of that is just part of the narrative that David Horowitz lays out in his new book, Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. David has a lot of Christian friends, including me, but he is Jewish, and he started out as a communist, became a leftist in the 60s. He is most assuredly a Christian with lots of a Jew. He is most assuredly a conservative with lots of Christian friends right now, but I know a lot of people want to know, David, why you would write a book about the war to destroy Christian America and even why you would care.
Well, and also you have to add, I'm an agnostic. But here's what happened. When I saw how evil the left was, progressives, the movement I was part of, how they hated America. And I saw that America, when America does things that are wrong, it always re-examines them and tries to make corrections so that it won't happen again. That struck me. Whereas the left never looks back at its crimes, which are monstrous. So I began a re-examination. I actually didn't do any politics for about 7 years. And I re-examined what we had said about America, and I tried to look at America and see how it worked. And the first thing that struck me was, we have these unalienable rights that no one can take away, to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And, of course, radicals want that as well. But it struck me immediately that if there is no God, you can't have inalienable rights. The rights you have will be given by government, and government can then take them away. And that was an easy idea to understand, but difficult for an agnostic to embrace, because I had to have the second realization, which is if you don't respect belief in a divinity, and you don't respect the people who are believers, then you can't defend any of your freedoms. It's as simple as that. And that was just the beginning, because then I discovered, or I sort of knew, because it was before they had banned talking about religion or Christian religion. Of course, they talk about Islam all the time in the public schools. That 98% of the settlers in this country, the people who actually created it, were Protestant Christians. And I came to that realization, and this is all in the book, that you couldn't have an America that was created by anybody except Protestant Christians. And the reason is this: all the values that we have, equality, diversity, inclusion, America's incredible tolerance, comes directly out of the Protestant Reformation. before the Reformation, you couldn't get into heaven if you didn't go through the Catholic Church and its priesthood. You know, they sold indulgences so that if you were stuck in purgatory, you could get to heaven. But the Catholic Church presented itself as the true church, anointed by God to be the church. But in fact, as all these Christians who made up the Protestant Reformation realized, the church, any church, but the Catholic Church at that time, is a human institution. You know, my late friend Christopher Hitchens, who wasted a lot of, he was very brilliant and entertaining, but he had this completely misguided crusade against God at the end. The subtitle of his book, he's one of the new atheists, is how religion, God is not great, how religion poisons everything. Actually, it's human beings that poison religion, not the other way around. Something that Christopher didn't realize and nobody on the left does. But what the Protestant Reformation did, it said, its central had two central doctrines. One is salvation by faith, because we are sinners, and therefore none of us deserve to get into heaven. You only get into heaven through God's grace. And that's how we have this whole system of checks and balances. The founders were believers, and they understood that the problem is us. Leftists think that the problem is society. But who creates society? The problem is us. And once you realize that, then the people in government are the same people causing the problems, except they have more power. So you have to check them. You have to create a frustrating system so you can't change the world overnight the way the Cortez Communist Party wants to change it.
David, you know, one of the things that astounds me about your book, and you just illustrated it, actually, I loved your book. You sent it to me. I read the thing. I get sent so many things. I have to confess to you, I don't read most of them because I just can't read everything. But I really love this book. And one of the things I notice, it just really stands out at me, probably because of a lot of our discussions through the years, is how much you understand about Christianity and speak of it with such great respect. And you start your book by talking about that shooting in Sutherland Springs, Texas. And you tell the story, but then you go into the aftermath of the shooting and how it was covered by the media. And I'd like to talk about that for a second. And just your observations on that, I thought, were amazing. And I would love to hear it.
Yeah, they mocked the same media pundits on MSNBC and CNN who were attacking Trump. They mocked the victims for praying and for people who prayed for them. They didn't understand what prayer is about in the first place. But their attitude was they took this horrific example of this massacre of men, women, children, whole families, and they took it as an example of why religion is stupid. I mean, they're so arrogant. I actually have in right following that, I talk about, you know, Bill Maher, who has been one of the nastiest pieces of work around, and their stupidity. I mean, they call belief in God dumb and dumber. They ignore the fact that all the creators of the scientific revolution, whether it's Isaac Newton or Galileo or Pascal or even Darwin, they were all believers. And their belief is what led them to their scientific discoveries, because what they believed was that the universe had a designer. And they wanted to find out what the design was, and I mean the stupidity and arrogance of people on the left bothers me, as you can tell.
You know what? Let me read
some
of the quotes. Yeah, let me read some of the quotes that you give in your book about the responses to that shooting. You said former MSNBC political commentator Keith Olbermann suggested in a tweet that Speaker Ryan, who had asked for prayers, should proctologize himself with his prayers. Seattle Democrat Representative Pramila Jayapal said they were praying when it happened. They don't need our prayers. They need us to address gun violence. Comedian Paula Poundstone sneered, if prayers were the answer to mass shootings, wouldn't people at a church be safe? And it goes on and on. But then you make a very profound observation, David, which really struck me. You talk about their ignorance about how religious Christians, and that's your term, and I actually love it, religious Christians view prayer. So tell us, how do we view prayer, David?
Well, it's not, you're not asking for a magic pill. I just saw, I don't know if you've seen Hacksaw Ridge. Hacksaw Ridge is one of the truly great movies, and it's about a believer who won't pick up a gun, but signs up for the Army anyway, and he as a medic, and he's mocked and he's abused, and he eventually winds up saving the lives one by one under incredible conditions of 77 soldiers, and he says in the movie, he has to pull these soldiers off a cliff and using ropes, get them down the cliff to rescue them. And as he does it, he prays to God, let me save one more. And he says, when he's questioned about it, he said, I don't know if God is listening to me. But that connection that I have is what allowed me to do what I do. And that, it's the impact. If you pray, first of all, it's humbling to pray. And that's the thing that's missing in all these leftists. They don't have no humility. As you can tell by the fact that they're sort of jumping on the graves of these tragic victims of a lunatic. They have no humility. You look at Cortez and you see, this woman's going to come crashing down, but when you think of pride goeth before a fall, this is arrogant pride. I'm going to change the world. And actually, it's the sin that the serpent in the garden appeared, when the serpent was seducing Adam and Eve, he said, if you eat of this forbidden tree, you shall be as God. And that's the sin of every leftist. They think that they're gods and they can recreate the world, change human nature. I mean, I just saw a clip of Kamala Harris saying that we can change human behavior. Yeah, go ahead, try it. You can change it. You can't even change it at the point of the gun. No, why do you think the Russians killed 40 million people and put in gulags, maybe 100 million, because you can't change human nature. As a one-on-one, you can save an individual, but you can't just come across the board and we have a country of 330 million people and change them. Forget
David,
it.
You know... Yeah,
if you could change human beings, you couldn't read the Bible, because the Bible was written, what was it written, thousands of years ago, 3,000 years ago. How could you understand the people in the Bible if people changed? If they don't change, individuals can change, but the people are the people, and they've been that way for thousands of years.
You know, and in that regard, let me ask you a question. You see the arrogance, and I do too. I see it in all the left. I see this arrogant, their eyes. They have this look in their eyes. It's pretty amazing, and it's pretty universal. Did you see that same kind of thing in the 60s when you were working with the radicals? Did you see it when you looked in the mirror? Did you see it in your parents?
Well, I was one of them. I know. Everything. I described in Radical Sun, when I was 10 years old and walking on the beach out on Long Island, mentally composing a speech I was going to give to President Truman to set him straight about the world. 10-year-old. So I had it. That's why I understand it. The second central idea of the Protestant Reformation is the truly revolutionary one. It was that you no longer have to go through the anointed priesthood of the Catholic Church. It was called the priesthood of all believers, that every human being created by God faces God one-on-one without the intermediary of a church. There's no church that can tell you even what it means. You know, every church has a somewhat different view of what it means to be a Christian, even. And this produces, you think of the priesthood of all, what a radical idea of human equality.
Absolutely, David. I have to retract. You know what? I feel like I'm in church, and I have to tell you, I'm loving it. So, but let me just say, the book is called Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. Honestly, I can't say enough about it. With forewords by Tucker Carlson, Alan Dershowitz, Mike Huckabee, Gary Bauer, Tom Colburn. And you don't want to miss this, and you can get it everywhere. And we've got more to talk about. So much more. Stay tuned.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
When you go into some of these small towns in Pennsylvania, a lot of small towns in the Midwest, the jobs have been gone now for 25 years and nothing's replaced them. And they've gone through the Clinton administration and the Bush administration, and each successive administration has said that somehow these communities are going to regenerate, and they have not. So it's not surprising then that they get better and they cling to guns or religion or antipathy towards people who aren't like them, or anti-immigrant sentiment, or anti-trade sentiment, and a way to explain their frustrations.
So that was Barack Obama when he was campaigning, and perhaps you will remember he's talking about the people in these small communities clinging to their guns and their religion, antipathy towards immigrants and people who aren't like them, et cetera, et cetera. I think many of us mark the Barack Obama administration as yet another leftward lurch for the United States, and certainly for the whole notion of removing Christianity from culture, no matter what he said when he was campaigning, no matter how many interviews he did with Rick Warren, there was nothing it promoted Christianity in the actual actions of Barack Obama. David Horowitz is my guest. His new book is called Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. David, I'd like to hear in your own words what effect you think Barack Obama had on the leftward trajectory of that.
He was a practiced liar. Barack Obama is a communist. He came from the same background I did. He was raised by communists. And as I say, when you understand that what you are part of is evil, the first thing you want to do, and particularly when it has such a seductive message, peace, harmony, justice, and so forth, the first thing you want to do is warn other people of the dangers. And Barack Obama never broke with his communist past. In fact, his two key advisors, Valerie Jarrett and David Axelrod, and Jarrett, even the more important one, they both were raised in communist families and never broke with the communism. And communists, if you're in the communist left, you lie. You have to lie, because if you tell people what you really intend, although Cortez isn't smart enough, actually, to lie and conceal what her agendas are, you don't tell people where you're going to take them. You pretend it's somewhere else. Obama is also the president most hostile to religion and to the Christian religion in particular. I have two examples in the book. One is his vindictive campaign against the Little Sisters of the Poor. This is a Catholic charity that dates back to the 16th century, and they take care of elderly women. So you have all these nuns who are celibate, taking care of very elderly, poor women. And the Obama White House insisted under the mandate of Obamacare that they distribute contraceptives to these elderly women. And they, out of their religious conscience, refused. And the Obama administration pursued them. They had 5 years in the courts up to the Supreme Court, ruinous legal fees, obviously. And it was heroic of the Little Sisters to resist this. Freedom of conscience, the freedom to have your own belief, and then freedom of speech, which is both part of the First Amendment, which is the freedom to defend your beliefs, is the cornerstone of every freedom that Americans have. If you can't freely express your, you can't hold your beliefs and freely express them, you can't defend any of your freedoms. And Obama was at war with that. I have a whole list. I took it off a Christian website of Obama's anti, I mean, they were really petty, petty anti-religious things. But it just shows his true character. But the worst thing that he did, you know, was pulling the troops out of Iraq, relinquishing the base, betraying every American who gave their life to keep Iraq independent of Iran and the terrorists. Watched ISIS develop. And then when ISIS proceeded to slaughter the oldest Christian community in the world, hundreds of thousands of Iraqi and Syrian Christians, including the ISIS had conquered Mosul. The temple in Mosul had conducted continuous sermons since the time of St. Paul. It's all gone, thanks to Barack Obama. He has the blood of all those people. I mean, it's a civilizational atrocity that he committed. And he gets away with it, of course.
Yes, and in fact, he's because he calls himself a Christian.
That,
that's what.
You know, my whole book is politically incorrect.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. So, well, most of the things I talk about are politically incorrect, too. So that's why we're friends, I guess. David, I am. This is one thing I would really like to know, because in conversations with other Jewish friends of mine, and my own gut on this too, is that Christians are just too passive. And you know Christian doctrine, you understand it well, and you know Christians
well. Yeah,
where
was the outcry when Obama was doing this? I was shocked. Yeah. There was no great outcry for the Christian community.
All right.
You know, it's true of all conservatives for some reason. You know, they're more civilized than people on the left. They don't like to embarrass their enemies when they catch them in lies and crimes, I guess. It's a constant theme of my work that the religious right and the conservative movement, they've got to, and the Republican Party, they've got to stand up and fight. You know, it's only because of Roe v. Wade, this fraudulent, horrifying decision. And by the way, my book has these certain colorful tales of like Madeline Murray O'Hare, who drove prayer, Bible reading, actually, out of the schools, tried to defect to the Soviet Union with her family. And the Russians saw that she was a nut case and wouldn't let her in. So she came back to America and launched this crusade. And her son has written a book about her, so that we know these things. But she told him that America is a gulag, and it's run by New York Jewish bankers, and that the only true freedom is socialism. She sounds just like Cortez. This is socialism. And the Russians have almost got there, but not quite, because they wouldn't let us in. But Roe v. Wade was also a bunch of leftists, the ACLU, Planned
yes.
Parenthood, were the lawyers,
yeah.
And SDS of Texas.
As Students for a Democratic Society, in case people don't know, that was like the precursor to the Weather Underground,
that
the
was
60s radicals.
That was a radical organization of the 60s.
Yeah.
It shows once you don't have these restraints, the moral restraints. I mean, what the Bible teaches is that we're the problem. That's what the Garden of Eden story is about. we had paradise. It was better than socialism. You didn't die. You didn't have pain and childbirth and so forth and so on. And all that was required was not doing one thing. And that's the only thing. Adam and Eve, that's what they did.
Yeah.
That tells you where the problem lies. Right. So you need morality to rein in the savagery right beneath the surface that human beings can do. You know, now we have all these reality shows on television and these murder things. You see what horrible things people do to each other. Yeah. Once you slip that, once you have contempt for that, which is what where the Democratic Party is now, you wind up killing babies who've already been born. It's not even an argument. You just kill them because they're an inconvenience.
David, I want to ask you something.
It's horrifying.
You know, I as a Christian, I know the reason why, at least since the beginning of the creation, that God has wanted a relationship with man. And I understand that Christians, Jews, and our cousins, our brothers, the Jews and Christians, have maintained their identity for the most part through these generations because of a powerful God and a Holy Spirit. And that's never going to change. But I'm curious to know, as a former communist and as someone who was in that life so long and all your friends and family were, what is it that carries this from generation to generation? Why doesn't this wickedness or this foolish understanding?
It comes dressed up as holiness. What are they? They're for social justice. They're for equality. They want to help the powerless. Speak for the speechless, the vulnerable. And the big problem is us as Republicans and conservatives generally. How can they lie that they care about blacks when they control all the inner cities in America? And they have school systems, which year in and year out, it's very predictable for the last 30, 40 years, 40% of the kids never graduate, and 40% of the kids who do graduate are functionally illiterate. And it's all run by progressives and leftists and socialists and Democrats. That's who runs all these inner city schools. And you never hear a Republican calling them to account for that. One lesson in my book I would want to get is the Roe v. Wade decision was so horrific and so undemocratic, and it so changed the fundamental law of the land in every community in America. It was an invasion of all the religious communities in America, that it gave birth to the religious right, including the American Family Association, was formed in the years following Roe v. Wade. And the coalition of the religious right first elected Ronald Reagan and now elected Donald Trump. It's all that saved this country from destruction. So you, please, anybody out there who isn't active, please get active politically before it's too late, before you only have regrets.
Yes. Well, I say almost the same thing every day, David, and it's let me just say, this war is this war. That's the subtitle for David's book, The War to Destroy Christian America, and the title of it is Dark Agenda. And, of course, we have just barely touched the surface of it. David goes into the history of the left. You actually trace it to the French Revolution, because I was wondering, well, I guess we could trace it back to the garden, as you did earlier, but the modern
form... Well, it goes back, I actually trace it to the Pelagian heresy, which was a Christian heresy in the 4th century A.D. And Pelagius believed that sin is against human nature. And therefore, if Christians would just be Christians, if they just be true to their nature, they could create the kingdom of heaven on earth without a divine intervention. And St. Augustine, who's the kind of the godfather of conservatives, said, no, we all have original sin. Sin is part of human nature. That's the fundamental difference between left and right. If you believe sin is part of human nature, you understand the problem is not society, it's us. If you think that people are born good and society corrupts them, then what you do is you sit about changing society and you get the Gulag and the 100 million people that the communists killed in the 20th century.
Yes.
That's what you get.
And that's
and
why...
That's where we're headed, people.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And of course, in Jewish teaching, David, there was a Messiah, someone who could save men from his sins, and Christians believe that Messiah came, Jesus, to save us from our sins, and that really is the theme of Christianity. No one understands it better than David, and the book is called Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. And by the way, let me just let you hear what Alan Dershowitz says. Horowitz exposes the intolerance of many atheists towards those who believe in God. As a Jewish agnostic, I think it is imperative that disbelievers not demonize believers and that believers not demonize disbelievers. The search for ultimate truths is a never-ending process that demands an open and respectful marketplace of ideas open to all. Mike Huckabee says one of the most intellectually compelling and rational defenses of Christianity's role in America, and a lot more, he says. But the book really and truly is powerful. I can't say enough about it. Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. David Horowitz, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for spending this time with us today.
Thank you, Sandy.
Yeah. All right. Sandy Rios saying goodbye to you. Have a great day and a wonderful weekend on AFR Talk.